So I've entitled this homily, Knowing Jesus Today, or Discovering the Hidden Jesus. So we're entering into ordinary time, right? We're starting to ponder the public ministry. We go from the birth of Jesus, then we have a week of baptism. Now the second week, we're also kind of going from the baptism into his public ministry. And the central focus then is getting to know Jesus. Who is Jesus? Who is this man? In fact, little preamble for all of you graduate level scripture people is the whole Gospel of John, which is sprinkled throughout both year A, B, and C, right? Year A, which is the year we're starting, is Matthew. Year B is Mark, and then Luke, and John is sprinkled throughout, right? So you'll hear John throughout the year. The whole Gospel of John, one possible way of understanding it is a courtroom scene. I don't know if I've mentioned this before in other homilies, where you have John 1 as kind of the opening argument, and the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, etc. He came to his own, etc. But to all who received him, he gave power to become the children of God. And that's like, this is what I'm setting out to prove to you all. And then they start into it, right? And the whole gospel is full of things that evoke a courtroom scene, right? The central question is, who is Jesus? And then there's witnesses. Even John says, I testified, I saw, I give evidence, right? John the Baptist, the disciples, the scripture, the Father, the miracles, they're all evidence being presented in favor of Jesus as the Son of God. And then there's opponents who act like persecutors or prosecutors, right? Constantly interrogating and asking questions and accusing him. And maybe it's Beelzebul that gives you the power to do this. And wait a second, who healed this man? And wait a second, you call him and have your parents come here. We want to hear from them. Like, there's an interrogation by humanity of God's Son, trying to figure out and prove and poke holes in his arguments. Even his parents, right, are called to testify this for the blind man. The authorities reject the evidence and cast out the witnesses, say, you're ignorant, you don't know, etc., try to debunk their arguments. And in the Passion, the whole Passion of John is Jesus before human judges, before Pilate, and comes to that ultimate question, what is truth? Right, like that's the whole question of the gospel. What's the truth about Jesus Christ? Right? They say you're this. I say, what do you say for yourself? And Jesus is quiet. It's like, the evidence has been placed before you. Time for you to judge. And the ultimate turn is actually, who's really on trial? Is Jesus on trial? Or are we on trial? Like, are we the ones being questioned? What do you have to say? Remember the whole conversation, who do men say that I am? Well, some say this, some say that. But who do you say? That's the central question. And in fact, after that dialogue with Pilate, he puts Jesus out and he says, behold the man. Who do you prefer, him or Barabbas? And they all say, Barabbas. Like, that's the drama. After all of this evidence, what's the final judgment of the jury? We want Barabbas, the son of the Father. We want this son of the Father, the thief, the one like us, a sinner. We reject, right? That's the, and then what's God's response? The resurrection, etc. The whole thing is a trial, and that's evidenced by this first, or this gospel reading today. The Bible study that I do every Thursday, a lot of people got hung up on, hey, wait a second, how come John says, I did not know him? He says it twice. Isn't he Jesus' cousin? Didn't they hang out when they were kids? How does he not know him? Etc. But that's the question. Wait a second. The one who should have known him, who he was his parent or parente, his cousin, his kind of family member, claims, hey, I didn't know him until God told me this is going to be the one. And then when I saw the sign, I believed. Said, and then I started telling, that's the, right? That's the one closest to him should have known him and yet didn't. And then God inspired faith, and then he believed. And that's exactly what is the question for us. We should know him, right? We're close to him, right? But sometimes in the moment, when we're put on trial and made to choose, we're like, ugh, I don't know, maybe I prefer this. And that's the big drama of our life, right? The invitation, who do you say? What do you say about Jesus? And that's going to be the whole focus of the public ministry of Jesus. Him making the case to us of who he wants to be for us, who he is, and how we should receive him, and then what do we do with that? Today we have John the Baptist. He's, like I said, the archetype who should have known him. But once he knows, he remains faithful all throughout his persecution until finally he's put in jail and then finally beheaded. He's the one who doesn't know yet, then he does through faith, and then he perseveres all the way up to the end. So the question is, how do we discover Jesus when he comes across our path in our own lives? How do we see him when he comes across? What's that sign of the Spirit coming down? You're like, ah, there's Jesus. I believe I see his presence. When Jesus appears on the shore of the Jordan women, he does so quietly, right? Even when he comes to John the Baptist, he's in line, humble. Nothing external that would make him believe him. Maybe that's why John the Baptist didn't yet know him, because as up until now, Jesus had not done anything that would like, whoa, wait a second, he's the one. Perhaps he heard the miraculous stories of his birth, but yet didn't see other evidence since then, and perhaps wasn't fully aware or convinced or no. This is very much the style of Jesus, to be hidden. Yes, there's a moment, there's a few big miracles, but a lot of it is the hidden Jesus who comes alongside. I've been interested of late to read Pope Leo. I don't know if you get the same impression, you don't hear much about Pope Leo. It's quite of a change from Francis. Like, we were over here and stuff about Francis. What did he say? And now, look, you don't hear too. You got to go dig to find it. So I was like, God, what's Pope Leo preaching on? What's his? I found this apropos to the point about Jesus and discovering him and how Jesus comes to us in the act of faith that's needed to believe in him. And not just believe like I believe, but then in my choices, in my daily life, make him a priority. And he said the following in October. This was a commenting on a Wednesday audience in October. I would like to invite you to reflect on a surprising aspect. And now he's talking about Christ's resurrection. And he says, his humility. If we think back to the gospel accounts, we realize that the risen Lord does nothing spectacular to impose himself on the faith of his disciples. On the contrary, he approaches discreetly, like any other wayfarer, like a hungry man asking for a share of some bread. Mary Magdalene mistakes him for a gardener. The disciples of Emmaus believe him to be a stranger. And Peter and the other fishermen think he's just a passerby. No one witnessed firsthand the exact moment of the resurrection, but all are invited to meet Jesus and believe in him and his power. No doubt there are miracles, amazing works, and actions, but most of his life is normal, close presence and kindness, and then there's his passion. Our moments of suffering, and then the resurrection. That's the cycle of faith for all of us, right? Knowing, not knowing, fooling, knowing again, trusting through the crosses, and ultimately rising with Christ. Pope Leo also mentions how Christ is present in the ordinary ways of human life, the hidden ways. He says, the risen Jesus eats a piece of fish in front of his disciples. And this isn't a marginal detail, he says. It's a confirmation that our body, our history, our relationships are not just a shell to be thrown away, like these external experiences are just until we get to heaven. No, they are destined for a fullness of life. Resurrection does not mean becoming just spirits, but entering into a deep communion with God and our brothers and sisters in a humanity transfigured by love. One more paragraph. In the suffering of Christ, everything can become grace, even the most ordinary things. Eating, working, waiting, taking care of the house, supporting a friend. The resurrection does not remove life from time and effort, but changes its meaning and flavor. Every gesture performed in gratitude and communion anticipates the kingdom of God. So the invitation, brothers and sisters, is to discover the presence of Jesus, just like John the Baptist discovered, as we move into ordinary time. Ordinary time is the bulk of the trial, right? It's where can I discover Jesus in this reality? My married life, my work life, kids going to school, like where is Jesus in all? Discovering him and then hold on to him. Love him there, embrace him here, accept him there. I want to close by recommending, as we go into ordinary time, four ways to get to know Jesus better. So many people coming back to the faith or wanting to begin the new year with the priority, okay, I got to get Jesus more and more prayer time, more focus on him. So four ways that we can get to know Jesus better. John perhaps didn't know Jesus by sight until the Spirit descended upon him, but he did know Jesus then by faith. We're like John in many ways, and we too have the ability to know Jesus by faith. So here's four ways. Reading the Gospels, reading Scripture, whether it's the daily Scripture from Mass, tons of apps that produce that and provide that for you. Just read Scripture. That's the best way to get to know Jesus. Read Scripture. Attending Mass and Eucharistic Adoration. Jesus said, I'm going, but I'm going to remain with you. Why did he remain with us in the Eucharist? So we could get to know him. Just hang out with him. Now we're doing adoration on Wednesdays. Plenty of other places where one can go and spend time with Jesus, even if he's not solemnly exposed on the altar, just to be in the presence of Jesus in the tabernacle. Spend time with him. And if there are churches that are locked when you're in the city or going around, you find it locked, we can help me with my campaign to keep churches open during the day. Sometimes security is more important than... It's like, well, if Jesus was worried about security, he probably wouldn't have become incarnate. So we do the safety, but leave the doors open for the people to be with Jesus. But anyhow, that's just my pet peeve. Anyhow, go to be with Jesus in the Eucharist, adoration. A third way, join the church community in prayer, liturgies, other opportunities to be in a small community of prayer, Bible studies, walking with purpose here, other, find your group, as they say, find your tribe within the parish. Find people of faith to surround yourself with. You'll learn about Jesus from them, but you have to be in the presence of those kind of people and spend time with them. And then finally, I think finding Jesus in the poor and needy. Another way of saying it's like, get outside yourself to serve others. And serve others that you don't have to serve. You're like, no, I'm serving people all day, trust me. The kids and this, and I like, it's cool to serve everybody, right? But those people that gratuitously, I choose to serve you, I don't have to. That opens the soul up to discover Jesus in the face of the poor in a new way, whether they're spiritually poor, emotionally poor, materially poor. Look for ways to serve the poor and needy. You can connect that with number three, right? With a community of people to do that as well. So no one can say that they can't find Jesus today or that he's too hidden. Like John says, I did not know him. At one level, maybe we don't know Jesus as well as we could, but through these means next year and this year, we'll get to know him even better. Amen.